thing. It's called In the Waiting. In the Waiting. We've all been in a season sometimes at one point in our lives of waiting for something, right? And even especially this season, we've been hearing throughout the church that something big is going to happen. We sense a season of change. We sense a season of, you know, a shifting in our culture, in the church culture. And sometimes waiting for that can be really hard. And at least, you know, for me, I'm like, yeah, let's go right now. And sometimes God is like, just wait. I got it covered. So tonight we're going to talk about In the Waiting. I'm going to pray. God, I thank you for your presence. I thank you for your love, your grace. I just ask that tonight you take me out of it. God, speak through your servant tonight. More of you, less of me. In Jesus' name, amen. Waiting, waiting, waiting. Do you ever have to wait for someone? Or you're ready to go and your kids are taking forever? Or at the last minute, somebody has to go to the bathroom? Or, you know, you're just waiting to go? Or, I see, in our family, it's kind of reversed. Like, when we go somewhere, my husband is actually the one that likes to talk. And so I want to go home, and I'm just like, waiting, waiting. Let's go, let's go. I want to go home. And or maybe you go to a restaurant and you have to wait to be seated. Or you go to the doctor's office and sometimes you wait a little bit longer than you want to. But then in life, there's a different kind of waiting. You know God wants to take you somewhere. Or you're asking God for direction. Or you have a prayer request and you don't know what to do. Or you need wisdom. The request is out there. You presented it before God, and now you're just waiting, patiently waiting. You want to move forward, but you haven't gotten that go-ahead from God yet. So I read that all of us will either wait passively or will wait expectantly. A passive person hopes something good is going to happen and is willing to sit around waiting to see if it does. After a short time, they may give up saying, "That's it. I've waited all that I can. I'm done. It's over. Nothing's going to happen." The passive person has a lot of wishbone, but they don't have a lot of backbone. But then the expectant person, on the other hand, is hopeful. They're believing the answer is just around the corner. It's going to come at any minute. The belief is not a passive thing. Their hearts are full. They're expecting that something is going to change. They may wait and wait and wait, but they wake up every morning expecting that their answer is going to come. And suddenly, after the waiting has been done, it happens. Tonight we're going to read John chapter 21. And we're going to actually read the whole thing by the end of the night. But we can learn a lot about the season of waiting from this chapter. So if we look at all the four Gospels, it goes Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John chapter 21, this is the only gospel that this incident is found in, what we're going to read tonight. It's titled the Epilogue, and it's titled Epilogue, Jesus Appears to the Seven Disciples. So if we don't know what an epilogue is, I'll take you back to English class, probably in 10th grade. It's a section or a speech at the end of a book or a play that serves as a comment or a conclusion to what has happened. So here we have at the very last gospel, John 21, an epilogue. So he's giving us a conclusion of something that all four gospels led up to this moment right before the new church began. And so this is a conclusion John gives us tonight. But before we read this, we have to understand that by the time between Jesus, he was crucified, 3 days later, he was resurrected. Between the resurrection and the ascension back to heaven, we have to know that there was a time span of 40 days. So between his resurrection and the ascension, and this is important because sometimes we read and we think it automatically happened like that. We think, oh, he was resurrected and yeah, he went up to heaven. But in Acts 1:3, it says Jesus walked and appeared throughout on the earth for 40 days. And so in that 40 days, the disciples didn't see him all the time. Jesus would appear to the disciples here and there. And so this account was the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was resurrected. And so the best place for this to occur was the time when everything was still kind of unclear to the disciples. Yes, they knew that he was back on earth, that he was resurrected, but they didn't yet have the Great Commission. So they didn't really know where their place was, what they were supposed to be doing. And so this is where we're going to pick up this story. So John chapter 21, we're going to start with verses 1 through 3. It says, afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathanael, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Peter told them. And they said, we'll go with you. So they went out, they got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. So here we have seven of the disciples that were in Galilee. My first question was, where are the other four disciples? Why weren't they all together? There was only seven of them. I didn't really research that. I researched the other stuff, why they were there. Because I thought, okay, well, the resurrection happened in Jerusalem, and now they're in Galilee. And there was like 78 miles between Jerusalem and Galilee. That's what caught my attention about, well, how did they do that in one day? They didn't. They had 40 days to do all that. So they were in Galilee. Why were they in Galilee? Well, if you read in the Gospels, Jesus actually told them to go to Galilee after he was resurrected. So in Matthew 26, 32, he says to them, I will go before you to Galilee. And then the angel at the tomb said the same thing in Matthew 28, 7. And then in Mark 16, Peter was actually given a special mention by the angel at the tomb. And he said, go tell his disciples and Peter that he goes before you to Galilee. There you will see him as he told you. So the disciples did what they were told. They went to Galilee. They remembered that Jesus told them to do that, so they went. They were there because that's what Jesus told them to do. He said that I will meet you in Galilee. But when they got there, Jesus wasn't there. Do you ever feel like you miss God? Do you ever feel like you know he told you to do something, so you do it, but then you're like, really? Did you really tell me to do that? Like, he wasn't there right away, right? And so here, Peter and his friends, they're standing around, they're waiting. They're wondering, okay, now what? They haven't been commissioned yet. They didn't have any plans. They dropped everything to follow this man. He died. He came back. Okay, he's gone. Now he's back. Now what do I do? Right? So the only direction Jesus gave them is I will meet you in Galilee. And so here they are in the waiting. And waiting can be hard. Waiting can be time-consuming. You can get anxious, you can get mad, you can quit, you can stop, you can forget everything, all in the waiting. So Peter, not wanting to wait passively, decides, I'm going to do something. And not knowing what to do, Peter decided, you know what? I'm going fishing. I'm just going to go fishing. Why? Because naturally, that's what Peter knew how to do. That was his profession even before Jesus called him to be his disciple. So he knew what to do, right? He's like, okay, I don't know what Jesus wants me to do right now, so I'm going to go fishing. So the first thing that we can do in the waiting is do what you know to do. Do what you know to do. Don't just stop. Don't get mad. Do what you can. Some of us are waiting around too passively. We're just letting time go on. We're like, whatever, just waiting. But it's time to take action. It's time to do what you know to do. Whatever it is you know how to do, go to work, work harder, write, create, serve, pray, worship, read. Do what you know to do. Because sometimes in the waiting, it's not knowing what to do, it's doing what you know. Sometimes it's not knowing what to do. There's a lot of times I don't know what to do, so I'm just going to do what I know to do. So in the waiting, we have to do what we know to do. Peter knew fishing, so he went fishing. Some of us have stopped. We've given up because we've waited too long. I'm going to remind you tonight to get back at it and do what you know to do. And then what happened? John 21, verses 4 through 8. We're going to read that. It says, early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, have you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say it, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. And so here they are out on the boat. They had a heck of a night. It says they didn't catch anything, right? So the next thing we can do and remember in the waiting is that Jesus will meet you there. Jesus will meet you there. When you follow his divine direction, they went to Galilee. They knew what Jesus told them to do. Jesus met them there. And think about it. I thought about this a lot, obviously. They went all night. The Bible says they fished all night and nothing happened. Nothing happened. And what happened when Jesus showed up? Their nets were full. They were full. Because weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And catch this, had they caught all those fish at night, they wouldn't have experienced or seen the miraculous the next day. Sometimes in drought, we may not experience or see what we want to see. But that's only because Jesus wants us to see the miraculous, the even better in our lives the next morning. Had they caught all that fish, they wouldn't have recognized Jesus the next day in it. In the waiting, Jesus is closer than you think. He's closer than you think. He was right there on the shore waiting for them to hear and see him and have a yet another experience with him that they would never forget. In the waiting, God is working. Jesus will meet you there. And then this is what happens when he meets you. John chapter 21, 9 through 14. Now we're going to read. It says, "When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, 'Bring some of the fish you just caught.' So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, 'Come and have breakfast.' None of the disciples dared to ask him, 'Who are you?' They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead." So there he is. Jesus met them there, right? And then we find that Jesus knows what we need. How? Because they were up all night. They didn't catch anything. They were probably tired. They were hungry. And when they came to shore, if you caught it, Jesus already had fish and bread waiting for them. He had already had it ready over a fire. Jesus knows what you need, who you need, when you need it. Where he guides, he provides. He didn't just bring them to shore and just, you know, have nothing ready for them. He already knew what they needed. They needed some food. So he already had it ready. He knows exactly what I need when I need it. He knows exactly what you need when you need it. And sometimes we go around and we try to fill the void that we think that we need by other things, by other people, by doing things completely opposite of what God has asked us to do. But if we would only listen to the voice of Jesus saying, "Come on, come to shore. Look it. I already have this for you. I know you need it. This is what you need right now." He has our back. He knows what we need even before we ask. So in the waiting, Jesus knows what you need. And then lastly, this is what happens. And this is the longer passage, but it's important. So we're going to read 15 through 25. It says, "When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?' 'Yes, Lord,' he said. 'You know that I love you.' Jesus said, 'Feed my lambs.' Again, Jesus said, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' He answered, 'Yes, Lord, You know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all these things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went there where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you to where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. And he said, when Peter saw him, he asked, Lord, what about him? And Jesus answered, if I wanted him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? That's a whole other sermon. You must follow me. Because of this, the rumor spread among the believers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? And this is the disciple who testifies to these things and wrote them down. And we know that this testimony is true. Last verse, Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. The last thing in the waiting we have to recognize is that Jesus restores. Jesus restores. Can you even imagine what Peter was thinking through this whole encounter? And to remind you, during the crucifixion, Peter denied Jesus three times. That was that guy. That's this guy right now. Three times he said, I don't know him. I don't know that guy. But you were with him. No, I don't know him. Three times he denied him. And now here he is. And if you catch it, they didn't really say anything eating, right? It was kind of like, you ever go somewhere with somebody and you're just like, this is awkward. You know, that awkward silence. Well, think about this awkward silence. Peter sitting across from Jesus, the guy that he hurt, the guy that he denied. If I was Peter, I wouldn't want to be talking either. I'd be like, oh, crap. Okay. What am I doing? Talk about a why did I do that moment, right? I'm sure that's what Peter was thinking. But Jesus looked at Peter and he restored him. He forgave him and he empowered him. And what I love most about this is, yes, that we realize that Jesus restores those that have been broken and he gives grace to those and mercy to those. But what I love most is the writer. The last section before we go into the new church is this story. John deemed it necessary that we needed to see how Peter moved beyond failing Jesus to become the leader of the newborn church. He wanted us to see that Peter's past had nothing to do with his future. Our past is our history, but our future is our destiny. And in order to move forward into the new, John wanted us to see that he can restore the old. He can move us past any failing that we have. He can get us through anything that we may have done that we said, oh man, I'm never going to get through this. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have been there. Why did I do that? And he wanted us to see that Jesus can move people beyond their failures into their new beginnings, that we don't have to stay where we were. Three times Jesus looked at Peter in that moment. Why? Because three times Peter denied him. So three times he said, do you love me, Peter? Do you love me? Yes, yes, I do. And Peter probably is like, thank God I have this opportunity. Because as far as Peter was concerned, when Jesus was on that cross, yeah, he believed what Jesus said, but, you know, they were like, okay, right? So now here's this opportunity to tell him, Jesus, I'm sorry. But he didn't even have to do that because Jesus came to him even before he had that opportunity. And he restored him. And he moved him into the leader of the next generation. If you read the book of Acts, Peter was the leader that transitioned into Christianity, into the new movement. He was the one that was able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was Peter. And Peter messed up a lot. But Jesus restored him in the waiting. In order to move forward, we have to allow God to restore who we were. Spiritual transformation happens in the waiting. The last chapter in Gospel sets us up into the new church, knowing these things, knowing that we have to do what we know to do. If we want to see the new, we have to do what we know to do. When we do that, we know that God's going to meet us there, and we know that he's going to meet our every need, and we need to recognize that Jesus not only restores, but he believes in us enough to be his ambassadors to bring in the new. And that's what happens in the waiting. And I pray that tonight that we all see that there's purpose in the waiting. And I pray that you find your purpose in the waiting. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much. I even thank you for that waiting period, God, that sometimes we seem to struggle so much with. That we know what we have to do, but God, you're just saying, do what you know, and I'm going to meet you there. I'm going to get you through it, and you're going to see. I'm going to bring you something so miraculous, so powerful, so new that it's just going to blow your mind. I pray for everybody that's in that season right now, God, that they would push through, that they would wait expectantly, God, for you to show up. And I thank you for that. I thank you that you restore. I thank you that you build us up, God. And I thank you that you see the best in us to be your ambassadors. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need prayer for anything tonight, I'd love to pray for you. If you're in that season, I would love to stand with you and believe with you. So come on down. If not, we will see you Sunday morning. Pastor's going to continue his series on Why Did I Do That? 8:30, 10 a.m., and then 12 noon at St. Anthony's. Love you.